It's your Handy Ham World Weekly e-letter for the week of Wednesday, the 5th of December, 2012. I'm Pat Tice, WA0TDA. Meet the top band, 160 meters. This week we are taking a look at what has long been called the top band by old-timers in amateur radio. The 160 meter amateur band covers 1.8 to 2 megahertz. The ARRL frequency chart notes that we are to avoid interference to radio location operations from 1.9 to 2.0 megahertz. This is to protect the LORAN, long-range radio navigation system, from interference. But the fact of the matter is that this old technology, LORAN, has effectively been replaced with the much more reliable GPS navigation system, and there really are no worries about interference these days. The entire 160 meter band is open to RTTY, RTTY, and data, including CW and phone and image modes. Its entire spectrum is also open to extra, advanced, and general license holders. So you can see it's really not a fussy band with a lot of restrictions by mode or license class. As you know, the lower the frequency, the longer the length of the radio's wave. The wavelength. A typical dipole antenna used on the HF or high frequency bands is about a half wavelength long, ensuring that it will be resonant at the correct frequency. A resonant antenna will have a low standing wave ratio and will effectively radiate RF energy at the desired frequency. So, if we are talking about the 160 meter band, a half wavelength would be a whopping long 80 meters. A meter is about 39 inches, a bit over 3 feet. If you use the tried and true formula 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz, and you pick 1.9 megahertz, a frequency in the center of the 160 meter band, well, then you get an antenna length of about 246 feet and 3 inches for the length of your half-wave dipole. Now, I don't know about you, but not many ham radio operators have that kind of real estate in which to string antennas. The length of the antenna has often been a deciding factor in whether one chooses to try the top band. If you live on a smaller city lot, it may just seem more practical to put up antennas for the higher frequency bands because they are shorter and easier to fit into a city lot. A 20-meter dipole is only about 33 feet long by comparison. Even though your transceiver probably has the capability of working on 160, it might end up being a band you never try because of the antenna requirements. What can you expect to hear if you tune around the 160 meter band? Well, nothing much if you are listening during the daylight hours. The band will effectively be closed to all but very close ground wave communications because of absorption of those wavelengths when the sun is out. Once the sun sets, 160 begins to come to life. Stations from hundreds, even sometimes thousands of miles can be heard. The winter months tend to be the best for using the top band because there are more hours of darkness and the band can really open up. Winter is also better because there is less interfering static, QRN we call it in ham radio, from thunderstorms. Summer storms are a major headache for 160 meter communications, so if you operate 160 in the summer months, the quietest time with the least interference, with the band still open, is probably right around sunrise. You can work all states on 160 and even work DX, but most QSOs I hear on the top band are contacts between groups of friends who prefer to meet on a less crowded band for a casual roundtable conversation. It can be an excellent band to have at the bottom of the sunspot cycle when the higher frequencies are less impressive. If you have an AM radio, hey, don't laugh, they are a disappearing species, but some of us still have them. Well, you can use that AM radio to tune around in the evening to hear distant stations. If far away stations are coming in on the AM broadcast band, then the 160 meter band is probably wide open as well. The two bands are nearby neighbors on the frequency spectrum chart. If you are intrigued by the idea of trying 160 meters, but put off by the antenna challenge, don't despair. Antennas that do not physically fit into a city lot can still be made to fit electrically by adding inductance, loading coils, to make the antenna the correct electrical length to resonate in the band. Now, of course, we all know that there's no free lunch in physics, so the efficiency of the loaded antenna will not be as high as that of a full-size half-wave dipole. The bandwidth of a loaded antenna will also generally be less, meaning that the usable frequency range around the resonant frequency will not be as wide. This, at least, can usually be taken care of with an antenna tuner. A dipole isn't the only antenna design to consider either. You might choose a Marconi antenna, an end-fed wire, tuned at the feed point. A vertical antenna with a loading coil near the base can also be a good way to get on 160 when real estate is at a premium. In fact, the new crop of 43-foot vertical antennas offered by a number of manufacturers can be made resonant on 160 with base loading. Marconi antennas and verticals need to be fed against a good ground system, preferably with multiple ground radial wires. It may be necessary to acquire a more serious antenna tuner than the one built into a transceiver. For really efficient 160-meter tuning, it is best to have a bigger external tuner because it will be more efficient and be able to cope with a wider range of matching conditions. The typical internal automatic antenna tuner is not much good for SWR readings of 3:1 or higher, and even then it's problematic. You can easily encounter high SWR readings when trying to tune a 160-meter antenna. Still thinking 160 might be for you? Okay, here's what you need to get started. You need an HF transceiver capable of operating on the 160-meter band. You need an antenna assessment to help you plan for and choose the correct antenna system for your situation. You need an antenna and tuner, if required, installed and tested with help from your local radio club or a knowledgeable fellow ham with antenna experience. You need free time to listen and operate in the evening and nighttime hours or in the very early morning. You need patience. It will take a while to learn how the 160-meter band works. And you need to plan to listen or participate in the next big 160-meter event, the CQ Worldwide 160-meter Contest, if you have your station ready by January. Here are the particulars. The 2013 CQ Worldwide 160-meter Contest, CW, starts at 2200 Zulu January 25th and runs to 2200 Zulu January 27th. The single sideband part of the contest starts at 2200 Zulu February 22nd and runs to 2200 Zulu February 24th. You can find out more at www.cq160.com/rules. RULES.htm, or link to that from your weekly e-letter. ARRL also sponsors a 160-meter contest, but it was recently completed just a few days ago, so look for the next one near the end of 2013, around November, I'd say. Next time, we'll talk about the 75 and 80-meter band. In the meantime, let's get out there and enjoy HF. For Handy Ham World, this is Pat Tice, WA0TDA, and you can reach me at handyham@couragecenter.org with your questions and comments. The Handy Ham Managers Technology Award goes to KK4JZX. In 2012, we decided to promote science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, as part of our amateur radio mission. To that end, we have created the HandyHam Managers Technology Award to be presented to a person whose volunteer effort on behalf of the HandyHam system in the area of technology has significantly advanced assistive technology, accessibility, or communications technology, resulting in an advancement of the state of the art for the benefit of HandyHam members. The 2012 award goes to Jose Tamayo, KK4JZX, for his dedication to the HandyHam remote-based software update project. Jose has done exemplary work to debug and update the existing W4MQ remote-based client software, leading the beta testing team and working to build accessibility into the newest version of the client. It is my pleasure to recognize Jose and to congratulate him on his achievement. This is HandyHam Manager Pat Tice, WA0TDA. Volunteers are needed. HandyHam volunteers help us with recording projects and are much appreciated by our blind HandyHam members. In a photo, we see Bob Zeta, N1BLF, November 1, Bravo, Lima, Foxtrot, posing at his computer where he has recorded countless hours of audio for his school district and for the HandyHam program. The demands on Bob are considerable, and we have more audio recording needs than he can possibly handle. Other volunteers like Ken Padgett, W9MJY, record audio for us each month. Bob and Ken know that recording for those who cannot read regular print is a wonderful way to share one's time and talent with others who want to learn more about amateur radio, learn how to run a transceiver, or understand a concept in electricity and electronics. Some recording jobs are as straightforward as reading printed copy word for word, with perhaps a pause or two in order to explain a picture or a figure. Others involve more or less freestyle teaching into a microphone about how to operate a radio. You can do that kind of teaching even if you cannot see to use regular printed materials yourself. If you know a radio and can use it well, why not share this knowledge with other HandyHam members by making an audio tutorial? It's a lot like explaining something over the telephone. Once you get the hang of it, the process is pretty simple. Volunteers Joe N3AIN and Matt KA0PQW have made excellent audio tutorials on different models of radios from a blind operator's perspective. Don't assume you need to see to do this work. While you do need to see to read printed pages, you can make audio tutorials whether you are blind or sighted. Years ago, people used tape recorders to make audio recordings, but today the computer is the tool of choice. In the picture of Bob that we showed, you can see the waveform of recorded audio on his computer screen in the background. Some people prefer the portability of a digital recorder, which can later be attached to the computer for transfer and processing of the audio file. Virtually any modern computer can be a sound recording studio for next to nothing in cost. You do need to have a decent microphone, preferably a headset microphone, and recording software like Audacity, which is free, open source, and cross-platform. That means it will work on Windows, Mac, and Linux computers. Recorded audio can be sent to HandyHam headquarters via several internet services which are also free, assuming you already have internet service at home. Recording for your fellow hams is a great HandyHam volunteer activity. You don't need to go out in the snow, sleet, and rain. Oh, there is no heavy lifting, high voltage, or tower climbing. You can do it at home, on your own schedule. We don't care if you are a night owl or an early bird. We can even pair you up with recording tasks that match your interest. Care to help? Drop me a line or give me a call. Don't sit in front of the TV all winter long. Read for your fellow amateurs and share the fun. For HandyHam World, this is Pat Tice, WA0TDA. Again, you can reach me at HandyHam, HANDIHAM, at Courage Center, all one word, .org, or dial me directly at 763-520-0511. Turning to the correspondence, we have just a couple of items. and they're really short, Avery K0HLA says, get ready for 12/12/12, December 12th, 2012. And Ken KB3LLA likes several books about the iPhone from National Braille Press, including Getting Started with the iPhone and iOS 5 for Blind Users. You can find those at nbp.org. That stands for National Braille Press, nbp.org. Turning to the Handy Ham Nets this week, we are on the air daily at 11 o'clock USA Central Time, plus Wednesday and Thursday evenings at 1900 USA Central Time. You can join us on the Thursday evening Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, the frequency in the local Minnesota repeater coverage zone, 145.45 MHz negative offset with no tone, and 444.65 MHz with 114.8 Hz tone here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. You'll find our daily on-the-air net at 1100 hours USA Central Time with a Sunday roundtable session for a change of pace, a Wednesday evening session at 1900 hours USA Central Time also offers a chance to take a guess at a trivia question, which is sometimes offered by the net control station, depending on how they want to run the net, and you can visit with your friends on the air. This is ideal for those who can't make the daily morning sessions. Then, try out the Thursday evening session at 1900 hours and ask a question at the TechNet or listen and learn something new. You'll find us on Echolink Nodes, HandyHam, the conference server 494492, KA0PQW-R 267582, KA0PQW-L 538131, N0BVE-R 89680, or connect through IRLP 9008, the Vancouver, British Columbia reflector system, and through the WIRES system 1427. Get the latest information about the Handy Ham nets and times or any changes that might have happened at handyham.org. And if anyone's checked into the Handy Ham Friday CWNet recently, it's listed on the Handy Ham Net page, I'd like to know about that and how conditions are on that 40-meter Handy Ham CWNet. It's time to test our knowledge by taking a dip in the pool, the question pool, that is. So today let's go to the extra class pool and take a look at four related questions about HF propagation. We'll start with E3B04. It asks, what type of propagation is probably occurring if an HF beam antenna must be pointed in a direction 180 degrees away from a station to receive the strongest signals? Possible choices are A, long path, B, sporadic E, C, transequatorial, or D, auroral. Then we'll go to E3B05, which asks, which amateur bands typically support long path propagation? Possible choices are A, 160 to 40 meters, B, 30 to 10 meters, C, 160 to 10 meters, or D, 6 meters to 2 meters. Our third question is E3B06, which asks us, which of the following amateur bands most frequently provides long path propagation? Possible choices are A, 80 meters, B, 20 meters, C, 10 meters, or D, 6 meters. And finally, E3B07 asks us, which of the following could account for hearing an echo on the received signal of a distant station? Possible answers are A, high D layer absorption, B, meteor scatter, C, transmit frequency is higher than the MUF, which stands for maximum usable frequency, I hope you know that, and D, receipt of a signal by more than one path. Have you got your answers down? Okay, these questions all relate to long path propagation in some way. If an HF beam antenna must be pointed in the direction 180 degrees away from a station to receive the strongest signals, that means that you are receiving a signal by long path propagation. The signal is traveling around the Earth instead of via the most direct shorter path that you might expect. As for which amateur bands typically support long path propagation, you just might be surprised to learn that although long path is most common on 20 meters, all the bands found on the typical HF transceiver, 160 through 10 meters, are subject to long path propagation. If you hear an echo on the received signal of a distant station, that could be a sign that the signal is traveling to your receiver by more than one path. The correct answers are A, C, B, and D. If you have a question or want to suggest a question out of the pool, please email me at handyham@couragecenter.org to comment. Turning to the remote base health report for the 5th of December 2012, we find both stations W0EQO and W0ZSW are online. Work is continuing on the remote base software. Both stations are accessible via Echolink for receive. What you do is look for W0ZSW-L and W0EQO-L using the search function in your Echolink application. Please note that it is not allowed to connect through RF to the two remote base Echolink nodes. You can only use the Echolink application of a computer or smartphone to do this. If problems show up, please email handyham@couragecenter.org. There are keyboard commands for the W4MQ remote base software. Link to those from your weekly e-letter. And in the solar activity forecast, solar activity is expected to be at very low to low levels on days 1, 2, and 3. That's the 5th, 6th, and 7th of December. Thank you to the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center for that forecast. And if you want, you can read a much more detailed forecast at SWPC, that's Sierra Whiskey Papa Charlie, .NOAA, November, Oscar, Alpha, Alpha, .gov/forecast.html. And forecast is FORECAST. This week at Handy Ham headquarters, you should plan now to contact the Handy Ham office with your news or address changes, any stories to share, or anything else that needs to be completed before year's end. The Handy Ham office will close for the week of Christmas through the end of the year and will reopen after New Year's Day. So that means that once Nancy leaves the office at 2 p.m. USA Central Time on December 20th, any business you have left until the last minute will have to wait for the first week in January. So please plan ahead. It will not be possible to get in touch with us during the last 10 days of the month. During that time, we will keep the website up to date and assure that the remote base stations are operational. The nets will continue on a regular schedule most days, but of course, family holidays are special, and sessions may be simply open to whatever you want to talk about, or they just could be open roundtables if no net control shows up for that particular day. There's a change in address for equipment donations. Please contact me, Pat, WA0TDA, before making any donation of equipment. My phone number is 763-520-0511, and my email address is either handyham@couragecenter.org or pat.tice@couragecenter.org. Our mailing address for gifts of equipment or anything else is Courage Center Handy Ham System, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. Just a reminder, there are no more tape digests and manuals. Please remember that the cassette tape digest ceases following the mailing at the end of November. After that, all audio is in DAISY digital format or online through the members-only section of handyham.org. The Library of Congress 4-track tape system will no longer be supported in any form after 2012. George N0SBU reminds us that the final tape digest mailing is out, and we will no longer support these cassette tapes. And we don't accept any donations of cassette tapes or tape equipment either. The December audio digest is in preparation for Digital Daisy cartridges, but we are still waiting for some audio to be submitted. December Daisy files are available in the Daisy section of the website following member login. If you have a question about how to get a Daisy player or a digital cartridge, please email us and we'll let you know. Be sure to send Nancy your changes of address, phone number changes, or email address changes so that we can continue to stay in touch with you. You may either email Nancy at hamradio, H-A-M-R-A-D-I-O, at couragecenter.org, or call her at 763-520-0512. If you do need to use our toll-free number, 1-866-HANDYHAM, then you can call 1-866-426-3442. As you probably know by now, you can reach me, Handyham Manager Patrick Tice, WA0TDA, at handyham@couragecenter.org, or by phone at 763-520-0511. Mornings, Monday through Thursdays, are the best time to contact us. The Courage Handyham system depends on the support of people just like you, people who want to share the fun and friendship of ham radio with others. So please help us provide services to people with disabilities. We would really appreciate it if you would remember us at year's end. Please call Walt Seibert, KD0LPX, at 763-520-0532, or email Walt at walt.seibert, that's W-A-L-T dot S-E-I-B-E-R-T, Sierra, Echo, India, Bravo, Echo, Romeo, Tango, at couragecenter.org. Or if you want, just call our toll-free 1-866-426-3442, and we'll be sure your information gets to Walt. You can get the Handyham e-letter by email every Wednesday and stay up to date with ham radio news. You can also listen to the audio of the e-letter at handyham.org or through the iTunes store. Just look for the Handyham podcast. It's completely free. That's it for this week, folks. 73 from all of us at the Courage Center Handyham system. For Handyham World, this is Pat Tice, WA0TDA, and I hope to hear you on the air soon.